This is Ian Aldrich of Yankee Magazine. Now, if you're familiar with the work of photographer and writer Peter Miller, it might surprise you to know that he's not actually a native of that state. Miller was born in New York City and didn't move with his family to Weston until he was 14. And that can be a startling fact to discover because for much of Miller's career, which now spans more than six decades, he's told the story of his adopted state. Now, I'm not talking about covered bridges and mesmerizing foliage scenics, though those are certainly a part of his portfolio. No, I'm talking about a Vermont that's more Northeast Kingdom than Burlington, rural and unpolished in any kind of urban sense. In the late 1980s, he set out to publish a book that told this story in portraits and writing of a Vermont that was rural, of one that was connected to the land by generations, and one that, in his own eyes, he saw as quickly vanishing. The compilation pulled together more than 30 years of Miller's work, all of it black and white. He called it simply Vermont People, and no book publisher wanted to touch it. So like any true Yankee, Miller did it himself, at great risk. He refinanced his farmhouse studio in Colbyville, hired a designer, brought in an editor, and paid for the printing out of his own pocket. Miller is an uncompromising journalist, and his commitment to his craft has cost him a marriage and any semblance of a fat retirement count. But this book may have been the best money he's ever spent. Since its debut in November 1990, Vermont People has gone through five printings and sold nearly 20,000 copies. Miller has a feeling for Vermonters. He gets them to open up, and as a result, he gives the rest of us access to their lives. And he does this largely by just shutting up, by letting them talk. Now, I first met Peter in 2012 as he was finishing up a second edition of Vermont People, which he was issuing with 40 new portraits. I tagged along with him to visit the poet David Budbill. Miller was 77 at the time and moved like a man half his age. He was constantly in motion. He shot from every angle, on the ground, up on a ladder. "Hey, neat," he'd say when he got a frame he liked. Recently, I stopped by his home and studio where he was wrapping up work on his new book, Vanishing Vermont, which, as the name suggests, further documents a part of his state, a part of sort of the lifestyle of that state, the people, the places, a certain rural philosophy that he feels is not only vital, but on the edge of extinction. Peter.
Yeah.
It's Ian.
Where are you?
Hey.
Oh, you're there.
I'm here. How are you?
I'm as sick as you're there.
Good to see you again.
How are you?
Look at you. You're all tan.
Well, I was in Florida.
Oh.
Got pneumonia. I had to go. My kids sent me to Florida so I wouldn't die.
Oh. How long were you there?
3 months.
Wow.
But it was one very serious month.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital for 7 days, and they looked at this house, and I was going to be alone, and I could hardly lift anything. They sent me down there and got me an apartment.
Wow.
Thank God for them. I didn't have any money, of course.
Yeah.
So I went down there, and you can't believe it. I got better. Within 3 days, first of all, I couldn't walk more than 50 yards, and then 75, and then 100, And then in 3 weeks, I was good, except I was weak.
Yeah.
And I started my book, worked on my book the whole. It was a push. It took longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Finished, I came up here, I was exhausted. So I had about 10 days, I just couldn't do much. And then I got back into it, and then it was 7 days on.
Yeah.
And then Kickstarter came, and I said, oh my God. And that came through just by the skin of the teeth and a lot of telephone calls. And now I'm finishing up. I got a page or two to finish and all sorts of little details.
Yeah. That. Your studio looks different. Have you changed?
Yes. Yes, it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got, this is a snapshot of your life's work here, isn't it?
Well, it's, yeah, there's France and Paris is here, and Vermont. The Trade Towers is, I guess they're not up
there.
Yeah, there are a couple of Trade Towers there.
Do you ever allow yourself to sort of take stock of what you've done? Like your sort of your life's work? And
I haven't until recently.
Yeah.
And I'm getting older, and I said, I can't do the things I used to do.
What sort of things?
Like going out in the field and climbing up mountains and getting on my belly and getting up and running. Or I used to do a lot of journalism.
Sure.
And my body is just not up to it. And the cameras were too heavy, so I got new cameras, different cameras.
Is that hard to sort of accept?
Well, you have to accept that certain things you can't do. And I did everything.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting to the point that, well, maybe I shouldn't do everything. Maybe I should be more selective.
Is it
hard? I've been selective with books.
Yeah.
But I do the photography. I do the reporting. I do the editing. I do the writing. And writing takes me a while. And I do the publishing and the printing. And I have some advisors, and I talk to them to make sure I don't make bad mistakes. And I do everything. And it's what a major publisher would do.
Yeah.
With a lot of people.
But your field work, is it hard to sort of accept maybe
No. I still go out in the field.
Yeah. But so, just being able to not do some of the things that you...
I have to think about that.
Yeah.
I have to think about that. I'm thinking that, well, getting up on the ground is harder than it was.
Yeah.
And then some of the new cameras, you have a flip back to it. And that can help. But usually I got to think out the pictures. Like the other day, I was in southern Vermont taking 4 days off, and I passed this house, whole bunch of junk all over the place. I said, huh. So I stopped, took a few pictures of it. Nobody was home. Then they came home. It was an older couple. And I talked to them, took some more pictures, and they were good. They were sitting on the porch. I have to go back with a better camera and shoot it again. And I got them some prints, and it was a very good picture, and I started to think, maybe after I finish this book, I should concentrate on what we're losing the most in this state, which is the older Vermonters, the farmers and the other people, and just do a series of that. And how I'm going to make a living, I don't know. I don't make one now anyway, so what the hell.
The title of the book that you're putting out is called Vanishing Vermont, right?
Yeah.
What do you think we lose when we lose some of the stuff that you so equate with Vermont? What are the bigger repercussions?
We're losing a philosophy for one. We're losing people who are direct and honest and are not money hungry. People who've worked with their hands and many times for themselves all their life, who respect the mountains, and some of them, the hillside farmers, almost look at the mountains as sacred, like the Indians, and they have all these different skills to do things, everything from carpentry and plumbing to this and that, and they keep the old farm machines or other stuff around because the steel is very good in it, and they cut it up and use it. So that's what we're losing. We're losing a type of people that is not going to be replaced. We're losing what some people call the Vermont way. We're different. Vermont's different from a lot of other places. One, it's because of our history of being an independent country, of having nothing but farms for a long while. And for some reason, the Vermonters were exceedingly inventive. Maybe because of the landscape, and they were up by themselves, and they had to learn to do everything.
And so when that's gone, what does that mean for
gentrified.
For the rest of us?
Gentrified. Mm. Being gentrified very fast. And many of those who come up, I always thought gentrification was fairly good because it brought money into the state and new type of people. But many of the people come and they they seem to be having left their state. I hear it over and over from people, Vermonters, that they come up and they want to bring, they come up here because they love it, and then they buy a house and they completely fix it up, and then they want tennis courts or this or pavement or street lights on dirt roads and stuff like that. And then they get into the local politics and they can talk, and Vermonters are not that talkative. And it takes a while to know them. But anyway, they get in that, and then they get in the legislature. And that's our problem. That a lot of out-of-staters, per capita, there's more trust funders in this state than their foundations than there are in any other state. And some of them are set up just so they can make some money. Other ones are good, but boy, they don't lend to people like me. They lend to other foundations. They don't like me. I'm too old, and I work for myself. Banks hate me. I 30 years with one bank, and I went to get a loan for my last book. They wouldn't even talk to me. And then I tried again in a new bank. They don't want to touch me. I don't have any money to begin with. I started this book with $500 to my name. And you don't make money when you do a book. And there's nothing else you can do if you're going to do it right. You have to work on a full. I don't pay the bills. I don't do anything. Everything's a mess. And still is. And I have to correct that. This book came about because of all the emails I got from three articles I wrote. Two for Vermont Digger. One was I Am Vermont Broke, which was a takeoff on I Am Vermont Strong. And the other one was Hard State or Cold State, hard, cold weather. I wrote about trying to survive in an old, cold house. And boy, did that resonate with a lot of people. I started getting emails. Then I put it in my blog. I got more emails. I said, well, gee. Well, and I looked at them. I didn't think much of them. I mean, I thought of them. I just kept doing whatever I was doing, trying to catch up. And changing into more wall art than journalism, because there's very little left for me in that field, or for other people too. So then one day, all of a sudden it just hit me. I said, this is a book. And I have to do it whether I like it or not. So I thought about it. I didn't know what I was doing quite. So, and it was all about people leaving the state, too broke, can't afford their house, their family's going to be split. What they're not telling me, which I found out, is that they were losing their culture. And they didn't like that.
Tell me a little bit about your work process, because you get people who are sort of known for maybe not talking so much about themselves, and you have an ability to get them sort of to talk in ways that other people, other reporters, other journalists maybe struggle to do. What's your approach?
I know Vermonters. I know how to talk to them.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I visit with them. I don't have a camera around my neck. Usually we sit down and talk for a while like this. And I'm looking around at what's on the wall, and I'm just looking around for pictures, and they get to trust me. Mm. They understand I speak their language, some whatever it is. And then I'm looking for the picture, and my pictures are basically portraits of them. And I'm not trying to do a Avedon-type picture or one of these other people that are trying to put a lot of pizzazz, and I'm trying to shoot the person as they are. And Vermonters let me shoot them as they are. I said, can I take a picture? Yep. I said, can you stand there? Yep. And they stand there. I don't want them smiling all the time. Mm. They don't smile all the time. I just take their picture, and I take the portrait, And then I have a 35 with me, and I shoot that. Sometimes that's a... I was out in New York at that time, and I had been doing journalism, so I used to tape...
This is Vermont People?
Vermont People. That was the first one. Yeah. I was just out of Life magazine. Or no, I was out of that for about 6 years. I was then doing a lot of stock photography.
Sure.
I was making money off that. And so I started this because some editor in New York, after I came back from photographing in India, looked at the pictures and said, "These are horrible. Why are you wasting your time doing this? You have much more talent than this." And
this was the guy at the stock agency.
He gave me hell. But anyway, I started thinking about it, and I quit Life. I quit it after I got a scoop on the country and the sinking of a thresher, and they suppressed it so they couldn't hurt some politicians. That pissed me off. I'd never think through these things. I just sort of feel them. That's why I quit. I said, I got to quit. I got to go back to Vermont. Vermont's beautiful. But what I was saying, I don't want to be in a corporation. I don't want to become an alcoholic like all these people are. Or many of them were, because they had such strange hours, never saw their families. And I said, I don't want to work for people that are sort of back-scratching and trying to climb up the ladder and using politics. Journalism is journalism. And Life was very good to begin with, and it still was. But when that guy told me, we're going to kill your stuff because Admiral so-and-so wouldn't be happy in Washington, that was the end of it. Mm. But I said, well, go back to Vermont. I love Vermont. So I quit and went back to Vermont. And I looked around, what the hell have I done? I've left the best journalism job in America. And I'm up here. And I, oh. Yeah, well, it was rough for a while. And I got divorced up there and all that stuff. And
What year did you move up here?
1960. About 63, 64.
Okay.
And then I fooled around with my brother doing PR. Boy, I hate that. And then I started a ski magazine.
Right.
And I used some of the people I knew from Sports Illustrated and Life. It was really a good one. And
but when you started, when you did Vermont People, everybody told you not to do this book.
Did what?
Everybody told you not to do this book. You were, oh, yeah. you were repeatedly told that it was a bad idea.
I knew it was a good book.
Yeah.
I'd worked in Life. I hadn't worked in Vermont.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of assholes. Jesus. I couldn't believe them. Vermont Life said, oh, you won't sell 2,000 books over 10 years. Everybody turned it down. That's when I went, that's when the banks would lend to me, and they lent against this house, and I got enough money to do the book. And then I thought about it, and I said, boy, I could lose my house. So I started doing a lot of PR, or releases to all the newspapers. And when the book came out, many of the bookstores didn't want to take it because I self-published.
A real stigma against it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was one of the first. Boy, they were really... And eventually one or two took it, and then the newspapers came out. Whoa, huge spreads. Nobody had seen black and white pictures of Vermonters, and nobody had read stories like that, and people went nuts over it. It went viral in this state, you might say. And I sold 3,000 in 6 weeks, and I wasn't supposed to do anything. I sold 15,000 altogether.
What sort of keeps you going? What sort of, I mean, you are working as hard as you ever have. I mean,
I say it's the books. It's the project. Once I get into a project, you can't get me out. I really get into it. I have a way of just focus. That's all I can see. Mm-hmm. Can't pay bills, can't do anything, don't want to see people. Going down to Florida was good. And 2 years before, I went down to Florida. I wrote 20 stories in 30 days. That was incredible. This time, because I was quoting from them, it took me double, triple the time. It was more than I ever thought.
Are you happy with your work when it's done? I mean, are you...
First time I look at it, yeah. Except I open up the book, and there's a typo. But no, I'm happy. When I look at it, I'm so used to it now. I look at it and I said, eh. I asked these advisors and they said, this is an important book. This is a good book. And it evolved as I went along. And I wrote the precis before it. And then it was their words. Except in two cases, one guy wanted to write the precis and everything. He was more or less a politician. I let him write it. And I also said he wrote it. I said, well, that's the kind of guy he is. And it's, a lot of the people are going to read through the lines and see what's going on, I think. And then in this book, I put a bunch of photographs in between all the stories. And one person wrote me and said, well, you're the fault of Vermont because you took all those pretty pictures and you branded this state. And that was bullshit. I go out in the woods to take pictures because I want to get away from people. And I like the beauty of the mountains. And I did that, and I didn't sell many. And frankly, I didn't sell in Vermont too much because there's no money. And I found out, I'll go broke doing that. So I had an agent in New York, sold all over the world. Ended up making about $90,000 a year gross in 1999. That went boom like that because of the digital revolution. And then Vermont. Vermont is so bloody expensive. It's just criminal how it's been taken over.
Where do you see Vermont headed then? Where
down the tubes.
Where do you see it in 25 years, 50 years?
I'm not going to be here, thank God. I don't know. If more young people come in the state and get into agriculture, if this state understands that agriculture is important and small communities are important and stop trying to bring in huge companies into the country, and maybe Burlington, all the business in Burlington is the only place with growing like mad. It's like another state. And what they say in Burlington says, you know, we feel real lucky to be located next to Vermont. But it's that's Burlington.
So are you hopeful?
You have to be hopeful, but I have people in the book that have said I've lost hope. Mm. I said, whoa, when you lose hope, what do you got? But one thing we have in Vermont, which I really like, you can get away. You can go into the woods. You can go to a pond. You can, even up here, I can get away. I have no place to get away to. And this privacy, maybe I like privacy a little too much, but it's I like it a lot. I live alone after I got divorced. Then I started freelancing, and I had people want to buy me for a magazine and move me and put me in a cubicle. I just told them to go to hell. And I stayed doing what I was, and I've never had a concern for money. I don't know why. I wish I did. But I just, that was not why I was in business. I was in business to do, I think, what journalists do or what people in this industry do. They communicate. And my job was to communicate. I always felt at ease with the Vermonters. And maybe it's because the first Vermonters I met when I bought a camera, my mother, I had my gun stolen, and I was a hell of a good shot. But I bought a camera with $160. A good camera. I was 17, I think. I was in high school, and I started taking pictures. And I don't know why I did this. Nobody in my family ever did this. Nobody in my family was artistic. And I don't know if I'm an artist either. But I started taking these pictures, and the first ones I took were in high school. They were just terrible. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even know what a contact sheet was. There's nobody to teach you. And then I started to shoot farmers. And those pictures were good. I had a natural sense for composition. And I was at ease with these people.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think because they talked to me directly, not as a kid. Mm. But the first ones I met, Will and Rowena, and I did a bunch of them. They were on the cover of that first book.
Sure.
And they started, oh, we know who you are. You're from over there. And then they started talking to me. And I learned things from them. And I come up and visit every so often. And then when I was in the ski patrol after I got out of the Army, I got laid off for about 10 days. We had no snow. I went up to their house and stayed every day for a while. And they, at first, Rowena would run in the house if she saw us taking pictures. And after that, I was in the house taking pictures. I still didn't know what I was doing. I took a bunch of pictures. I took some good pictures. And I had this good sense of simplicity.
There's also a lot of care in your photograph. You can tell that you care deeply about these people.
Do I? I don't know.
No?
I care for them.
Yeah.
And I like them. And I consider the people that I have photographed my extended family. And I think I've had a talent, which I never understood, of coming out with a book at the right time. I don't know what this book is. It's really text. The important part of the book is the text. The second important part is I showed pictures that the Chamber of Commerce will hate. They're real pictures. They're pictures of reality, I think. And there are a couple pretty pictures, but mostly I didn't put those nice pictures in. And I just wanted them to see stuff like that. And that'll make a sting. I won't sell many pictures. But that's not the point again. I'm doing a good book. And that book has to stand by itself. And people say, hey, you're really good. And I said, hey, it's not me, it's the book. The book has its own life. Yeah. And that's it. What can I say?
Well, thank you. This has been great.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, my God.